Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Good afternoon and welcome to Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com and the Dirty D. How are you doing today, Michael?
Well, I'm doing all right. Another example of how crazy this Iceman season has been. Now my primary vehicle is on the IR.
Oh no!
I got rear-ended over the weekend.
Oh my gosh!
So
did you get a 5-minute major for boarding?
No, the guy that rear-ended me was actually uninsured though, so he's going to have bigger problems than 5 minutes in the penalty box.
Fantastic!
Yeah, so something else to add to the injured list. Thankfully, the vehicle's still drivable, but it's a little worse for the wear.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It got checked from behind.
A la Brad Richards and is it Patrick Coletta in
yes.
Buffalo, all the
yeah.
drama a couple of nights ago in the NHL. So, speaking of drama,
yeah.
last Thursday night, fantastic game for the Icemen. We'll break it down there. Just a great game, explosive game, a lot of fun. Almost threw away a 4-1 lead, and then a fantastic goal by Patrick Kennedy.
Yes.
And then the wheels kind of fell off this weekend after a great winning streak. But we start Thursday evening at the Ford Center.
Yeah, Thursday night, the Icemen beat Toledo 6-3 in front of an announced crowd of 3,594.
Oof.
No comment.
I will make a comment. I would bet 794.
Yeah, it
was but they were allowed 794.
They were allowed. Yeah,
so I could see
true.
How you could get confused.
Yeah, maybe it's like they multiply the number of people in the building by the number of decibels, and there's some sort of algorithm or something.
I still love the Janine Rue comment. They're counting the radio audience as well.
So, yeah, 6-3 win against Toledo. Jason Dale, Patrick Kennedy, Donnie Harris, and Andre Bouvet-Morissette all had a goal and an assist each. Donnie Harris's goal was huge. The Icemen, it was 1-0 Toledo late in the first period. He scores
late,
on a rush. Very late.
Late
yeah.
in the first period.
He scores on a rush with about, I think it was 3.9 seconds left from about 40 feet out. Just unleashed a rocket as only Donnie Harris can and beat Toledo's goalie and... that's one of the big sayings in hockey among coaches is you never want to give up a goal in the first minute or the last minute of a period. And that totally swung the momentum in our direction. The Icemen went out in the second period, scored the next three goals to take a 4-1 lead. And just when you thought they could cruise to a victory, Toledo comes back with a couple goals in a row, makes it 4-3. But then they take a power play. You think, oh, no, now we're really in trouble. But Patrick Kennedy, with a real dagger on an incredible individual effort, scores a beautiful, just wonderful shorthand goal with 3:14 left in the game, makes it 5-3, and then Jason Dale added an empty netter with 0.1 on
yes.
the clock.
I've waved him off before.
Yeah. And, well, we had one last year. Remember the overtime winner that Jake Obermeyer had in that one game last season was 0.1 on the clock in overtime.
Yep.
And it's literally as close as you can get
yep.
to running out of time because we don't go down to hundredths of a second. So, yeah, it was another one of those cases of the Icemen take a lead and then start to fall apart, and you think, oh, boy, here it comes. They're going to give away another one. But Kennedy's goal was huge, and then Dale adds the empty netter, so we win 6-3. In that game, Kenny R2-D2 Baker.
On Star Wars night.
Yeah, on Star Wars night, scored two goals. But the problem was it turned out to be his last game with the Icemen because the next day, on Friday, he was placed on team suspension. We didn't initially know why, and it ended up coming to light that he is signed to play with the Arizona Sundogs in the CHL, another defection to the CHL this
yep.
season since the leagues don't have the reciprocal agreement with their contracts. apparently it was an opportunity to make more money and potentially make the playoffs and play for a few more weeks.
And make more money
in the playoffs. Yeah, they are in the playoff picture. They're not a lock, but they could certainly make it. And we very well may see more of this in the next few weeks because...
Who's left?
Well, not necessarily the Icemen. But,
oh, okay.
But I think there will be more movement from some of the bottom feeders in the ECHL might be losing good players to CHL teams, and maybe vice versa, where teams in one league that are in playoff contention and jostling for seeding could try to poach talent from the other league because there's no honor among thieves. You can just sign guys now. There's nothing saying you can't. So while there may be... a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, gentleman's agreement that we're not going to do this. We're still going to honor each other's contracts, even though we don't technically have to. I think it's been proven that at least certain people in each team or each league are going to ignore any gentleman's agreement and sign willy-nilly as long as it benefits them.
I love it. I love the Wild West feel of... And part of it, too, is, hey, you want to keep your players, sign them to a contract. Hey, you want to keep Kevin Baker, you know,
sign him for next year
and make sure he's got plans for the off season. But if you're not going to do it, and I'm not saying that the Icemen should have done that, I'm just saying everyone has an opportunity to keep their own players.
Yeah.
And especially if you are a last place team, sometimes you got to pay more money to mm-hmm. keep your talent before they defect to make some more money before the off season begins.
And if you don't like it, there's nothing preventing you from doing the same thing to
exactly.
other teams.
And
you can go find a team that's at the bottom of the CHL standings and take their best players.
Yep, and definitely. So as much as it hurts us this year, I mean, it doesn't hurt us this year. It doesn't matter.
No.
Everyone could leave this team. And guess what? We're still not going to make the playoffs, even if I'm out there. I texted the warden, Chris Phillips, on Monday after we'll get to the transactions in a little bit, but after a couple more defections off the club, and I said... Benigni is how I spell my last name, as you make out that contract for me, because I think I'm getting to be one of the last hockey players left here in town.
Yeah, it's going to get to the point where anyone who can skate and hold a stick and somehow hit the puck without falling down is going to get an offer, because, it's just beyond ridiculous. I said on the Maniac message board, I don't know whether to laugh or cry, because it's just so ridiculous. It's laughable, but at the same time, it's like... how does this happen? But we'll get to the transactions in a minute. To kind of put a bow on the Kenny Baker, I'll call him Kenny in your honor.
There you go.
To put a bow on that, he finished with 30 points, 18 goals, and 12 assists in 32 games for the Icemen, so essentially a point-per-game player.
And he played better as players off of his line, the Josh Bolios and everything else, got injured. He was really coming into his own.
Yeah, he had 15 points in his last 7 games, so he was red hot, and maybe that put Arizona over the top as far as, yeah, come on over. We'll bring you in. We'll pay you more. But on the other end of that deal, obviously, we got Baker for Dan Gender and Dale Mahovsky, and so far, Gender has already left Orlando. Mahovsky is still there. They have combined for Orlando for 26 points in 51 games, so... I do think even though Baker is gone, we still got the better end of that deal. But in the end, it may end up being moot because so far only one of the three players in that trade is still in the league, and both teams are going to miss the playoffs.
Yep.
So it is what it is.
Exactly. Then weekend, we go away to Toledo. Then we come home, play host to Cincinnati, and the Kenny Baker move rocked that clubhouse. I don't know if you heard any rumors or not, but that one stung.
I did not, but it clearly, and they'll probably never admit it, and rightfully so. You don't want to admit that one guy deflates the room like that, but they were a completely different team over the weekend, and it was not in a good way.
No, outscored 16-4 in 2 games.
Yeah, it was 16-5. 7-1 in Toledo on Saturday. Snapped a 5-1 stretch, so it's not like the team was playing bad. They had won 5 out of their last 6 and then just got destroyed by the Walleye on Pink the Rink night up there. Actually took a 1-0 lead in that game and then gave up 7 unanswered goals. Daniel Tatro had the only goal for the Icemen, and somehow, despite getting outscored by 6, the Jason Dale, Patrick Kennedy, Oliver Gabriel line was +1.
I love it.
Yeah. And then,
Gabriel's really starting to,
he's,
play himself into shape.
Yeah, he's getting the rust shaken off a little bit. And then Sunday, almost worse if you really want to. I mean, the margin of victory was slightly better, but a 9-4 loss to the Cincinnati Cyclones at home.
Again, now, we were up 2-1.
Yeah. Granted, Cincinnati is a good team. They're a first-place team, but still, that's at home. You hate getting blown out like that at home. Attendance was 54.92. Led 2-1. Yeah. Is that a well-timed cough, or was that totally accidental?
Just a little verklempt.
Ah, verklempt. Very good. Can you spell verklempt?
I don't even know what that means.
My dad would say V-E-R klempt. But anyway, the Icemen, led 2-1 in that game and then gave up 7 unanswered for the second night in a row. Cincinnati's Mike Embach ended up with 4 goals and an assist. For the Icemen, Todd Robinson had a goal and 2 assists. He's up to 56 assists, which is still number 1 in the league, and 62 points, which is now tied for 4th in the league.
And only minus 1.
Yeah, that's true. Oliver Gabriel scored 2 goals in that game. That was actually his first goals of the season, so good for him.
You want to talk about a heck of a way to finally get your first goal of the season after what he's been through with the Achilles and the rehab and then coming back to this team out of playoff contention. Well, close. I'm sure we'll get into our tragic number here pretty soon. But pretty much out of the playoffs and still out there working hard. Like you said, only line that was a plus Saturday night and then gets 2 goals on Sunday. It's a pretty great story for him.
Yeah, indeed. Andre Bouvet-Morissette, another good story, had a goal. He had 4 points in 6 games with the Icemen, and he's no longer here. But we'll get to that. We also have to get to the fact that we have a special guest here in the studio with us.
Kelly Miller Allstate.
Kelly Miller!
All of your insurance needs.
Yeah.
Kelly Miller.
Not to be confused with the Kelly Miller from the Elmira Jackals, who's been cut a few times.
Ah.
Although, at the rate the Icemen are going, we might be signing Kelly Miller, Kelly Miller, to play.
That is true.
What do you play, Kelly? Defense or forward?
He's forward.
You're a forward?
He was trained by the Dirty D in the old Tuesday Night Swan.
Which is why
hockey.
You don't play defense like him.
What? Get out of here.
So in that Sunday game, kind of an oddity, in the second period, the first 4 stoppages of play in the second period were all for goals. There were 4 goals scored in the first 5:08 of the second period, and that was the only 4 stoppages to that point in that period.
I've done that in a Pee Wee League before.
Where every whistle is a goal? Yeah, kind of odd. In that game, the Icemen had just 13 skaters instead of the normal 16. They only had 8 forwards. There was 3 pair of wingers, and then Todd and Jason Dale were just rotating at center. And out of the 8 forwards we did have, 4 of them had been with the team for less than 2 weeks, and a 5th, Gabriel, was still shaking off the rust from an injury. We also only had 5 D, and 1 of the 5 was a forward playing back on D, Patrick Kennedy. So there's a lot of cliches about sports, but one of them that I think certainly applies is you can't win the race if you don't have the horses. And it's just, at this point, it's a comedy of errors almost as far as the roster goes. But that really does apply. You can't win if you don't have the bodies. And especially if the bodies are new to the team and guys are fighting from injuries. And it's just not a good recipe.
It started a couple of weeks ago, but I was already scouring other teams thinking about next year. And I think the same thing's happening all over. AHL teams are calling their players up because they're getting close to their playoff drive and they want guys in-house to see how they're going to perform. You have the Kevin Baker defections. Everyone is looking at next year already. If you're not in the playoffs now, you're looking at next year. And it's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, when you're at the bottom of the food chain, that benefits you least. It gives you a lot harder for you.
Well, it gives you a lot more time to spend in scouting than you are in game planning.
That's very true. I know there were some questions. People were wondering, well, when's the last time we gave up 9 goals? Is that some sort of record? For people that have been around since the first season, no, that's not anywhere close to the record. But it was the most goals the Icemen had given up since an 11-4 loss at Missouri on December 21st, 2010, which was our first CHL season. And it's only the 3rd time we've ever given up 9 or more at home. And that includes the old AHA days. In fact, the only other 2 times it did happen was during the first AHA season. A 9-7 loss to Chi-Town in January 09, and before that was a 12-3 loss to Chi-Town in December of 08.
That 11-4 loss at Missouri, wasn't that a Maniacs trip? Didn't Dixie and Stephen Habler go to Missouri, and John and Jessica Legate went, and they all went out there, and they were all frustrated because the team just laid an egg.
They showed up and the team didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it has been ugly before, but that was definitely one of the ugliest games at home, and probably safe to say the ugliest home loss in the AA history of the Icemen, save perhaps the Leap Day meltdown last year when we gave up 6 goals in the third period after leading against Wichita. That was pretty brutal, too.
Still one of the craziest games I've ever seen.
Yeah, that one. That one was
that was a season ender right there.
Yeah,
that one finished it off.
Indeed. About Sunday's game, everybody kind of went into it expecting it to get crazy nasty because it was the first time we played Cincinnati since Nathan Moon got jumped a few weeks ago. But it was really quiet. There were no fights. It wasn't very physical. More than anything, it was just that the Icemen were too shorthanded to fight. When you only got 13 skaters, you can't afford to have somebody fight and go to the box for 5 minutes because then you're down to 12, and 13's bad enough as is. So that was part of it. Part of it also was that Andrew Conboy, the guy that jumped Moon, did not play for the Cyclones. He was conveniently placed on reserve. There's been no word on an injury, but the rumor is that he's out with an inflamed vagina.
Ooh. Those are difficult. I had one for a season and a half.
And that's ongoing, right?
No, that was after the toe pick incident.
Oh, yeah.
We've discussed that before. Incident, yes. To an inflamed vagina.
Yeah, but...
inflamed mangina.
Coming out of Sunday's game, I think probably the biggest point of discussion, Saturday and Sunday, really, was... The idea of when do you change goalies in a game that's just clearly out of hand like that. Obviously, if it's a close game, it's early, and your goalie just doesn't have it, you change him. If it's a relatively close game and the team is flat but the goalie's playing okay, sometimes you'll change him to try to just liven things up and turn the team around. But in garbage games like that, when you're clearly not going to win, when do you change the goalie? On Saturday in Toledo, Karpowicz was left in for the entire game. He gave up all 7 goals. On Sunday, it looked like Dayton was going to be left in for the whole game, too, since Karp took one for the team the day before. But when it got to 8, I guess it was kind of a mercy killing in that Crom pulled Dayton and put Karp in for cleanup time. So we talked before about how goalies are odd creatures, and you have to be very sensitive to the mental state because goaltending is just as mental as it is physical. So... what is your take on that as far as situations like that? Obviously, you have to look a little bit at the bigger picture and when upcoming games and stuff like that, but when is enough enough and you just have to take a guy out, even if you ideally would like him to just stay in there and clean up in garbage time?
First of all, I think it's a great question and an even better question for Brian Patafi, who will be joining us on the radio at the 2 o'clock hour, because here's a guy that hasn't made that decision, but he sat on the bench and watched it being made over 30 years in the NHL, major, junior, and in the East. So I think it's a great question. At this point in the season, Dayton is exhausted. He's got to be exhausted. So you're going to leave Karp in for all 60 minutes just because there is no reason. That's that scary time when goalies don't have any time to warm up, and then you're sticking them in the game. And that's when groins get tweaked and everything else. And after what Dayton's done this year for us, especially the past 3 weeks, carrying this team by himself, you can't put him out there.
No, and then, especially when you know he's going to be playing the next day.
Yep. And then Sunday, same thing. And part of it, too, is I don't think Crom has a lot of confidence in Karpowicz. Going back to the early part of this season, he's just always, other than a few games, he's kind of looked a little shaky. So I don't think Crom's got a lot of, but the same thing is you don't want to send a goalie out there. The team's getting shelled. They're undermanned. This isn't a Patrick Waugh situation where you're showing up your goaltender on home ice. It's just, you're just trying to get through the rest of this season.
Yeah.
So, but I think enough became enough. But it'll be an interesting question. I remember P.O. last year in one of those games, Pierre-Olivier Pelletier.
Well, it was the Leap Day meltdown. He was the one that was in net.
Okay.
And kept giving him up, and everybody was like, why aren't we pulling
him? Well, and that's an interesting situation because after the third goal, I think he looked to the bench, and because I was the official scorer back then. I was up in the press box, and I was watching him. He looked to the bench coming out of his crease, and Crom just gave a slight shake of the head, no.
You're staying in there.
And that was all that frog needed to just lay down and let pucks get shot over him. And there, that was definitely I think there was other issues going on in the clubhouse back then, but that broke his morale that game there. So it's all, and part of it, I don't think there is a right and wrong. It's knowing your goaltenders.
Yeah, I think it's more situational. It's situational based on
it's games individual
and the schedule, but it's also individual based. Each goalie is different, and you have to, over time, learn how to handle each goalie in the way that's going to best benefit his mental state and his physical tools.
For Peltier, they probably needed to roll out, you know, the wedding aisle runner all the way to the crease and have, like, all the players waving feather fans as he walked, skated to the bench.
Maybe call a timeout, let him come over to the bench, reapply hair product.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they'd have to take his helmet off, have two guys take his helmet off, get that feather going in both of the for the goaltender, and then send him off, and then everything would have been just fine. So, yeah, definitely individual for the goalies.
Good stuff. I think that it is a very interesting discussion, but I think ultimately it comes down to that situation, and no one knows the situation better than the people in the locker room. And it's one thing for fans to speculate, but we don't know the players individually like Rich Crum does.
Yeah, and part of it, too, is sometimes you want to pull the goalie just to save him the embarrassment because he's getting shelled. But then the flip side of that is some goalies may not take the hook well.
Right.
So now, even if he's given up five shots on 13 goals, he still wants to go out there and battle. And then you give him the hook. Now you've lost him for 2 weeks because
you don't. He doesn't think you have confidence in
exactly
him.
The goals he's giving up aren't rattling his confidence. It's when the coach pulls him, basically saying, I have no confidence in you anymore. Then he goes on, and then he's no good to the team at all.
Right.
So there's that part of it, too, is how will he take a hooking? You know, will he be motivated by this, or is this just going to send him into a downward spiral?
Yeah, and usually the only time there's any sort of actual discussion about it is if you'll see a goalie change made at intermission. When it's in the middle of the game, usually you just have to feel out the situation and make a decision, because goalies aren't going to take themselves out, except in rare circumstances. Sometimes a veteran that has a lot of stock, like in the NHL, every now and then you'll see a guy like a Patrick Waugh or Martin Brodeur. If he knows it's not his night, he'll take himself out. But they have that kind of equity in their value where they can get away with doing that. But at this level, if you take yourself out of a game, you're a quitter.
Yep.
And that means it's all on the coach to make the decision. And you're not going to get it right all the time. Sometimes you're going to look back on it and go, man, I wish I would have taken him out, or man, I wish I would have left him in there. But a lot of times it's a case of hindsight being 20/20, and you just don't know until after you've done it and you find out based on how things go.
Yep. Indeed. Tragic number update.
We are getting closer to being mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. Last week, the tragic number was 14 on our show. Since then, we left 4 points on the table by way of two losses, and eighth place gained 4 points, going from 64 to 68, which means the tragic number is now down to just 6. So we are currently sitting at 49 points with 12 games left, so our maximum possible total is 73. Even if we win out, eighth only needs to get to 74 from their current position of 68 in order to make it where we can't catch them. So there's a very real possibility that we will be officially eliminated by the end of the weekend. So yeah, by the time we do our next show, we could very well be done with the tragic number updates because it will be 0.
So we'll fill it in with something else. We'll come up with something creative. We got something, right?
I don't know.
Yeesh.
Maybe not.
I might not even be here. There might be a team. You know, Toledo calls me far away,
true.
And they say, hey, we heard you got a radio show, I just defect.
You'll be the third D pairing with a Kelly Miller move back to D because we need help back there.
I've trained others, too. Don't you worry. Kelly Miller knows how to hold the point man in at the boards, so I just got to chip the puck up around the glass, make sure he chips it out. Oh, yeah. We got defensive zone coverage under control.
Well, then, somebody call Crum right now. All of his problems have just been solved.
I've been texting him every day since Sunday. Next up, our best segment, because it's 3 minutes where you don't listen to us talk. Shockers, hockey, rock song of the week.
Ooh, new delivery. I like that little tweak there.
I'm feeling good lately.
This week's song is actually fitting for two reasons. First off, last Thursday it was announced that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers will be kicking off their 21-date 2013 tour at the Ford Center on May 16th. Secondly, I used this as a goal-against song at Swander when I was doing the music, and, anyone that was paying attention this weekend knows the Iceman did a lot of goal-againsting. gave up 16 goals in their last two games. So from Tom Petty's first post-Heartbreakers solo album in 1989, this is I Won't Back Down.
And we are back with Iceman Insights, Michael Shockley, the Dirty D, WYIR 96.9, Music Bomb. We have moved down into the basement of the Wired Coffee House, where the Shockinator 7000, the supercomputer that calculates games lost to injuries, has been calculating feverishly over the weekend, and now Man Games lost to injury count is at
352 through 60 games.
And it's only getting bigger.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Jiminy. we want to thank you all in our final production of Iceman Insights.
We currently have 7 guys hurt. No inflamed vaginas on this team, though. That's only in Cincinnati. We have had 17 different players totaling 29 different call-ups to the AHL. And we have now had, we've broke the record, we have 52 different players have dressed for the Icemen, which is more than in both CHL seasons combined. So I thought the best quote about the way things are going was on Facebook. Rick Llewellyn, I think is his name. I'm not sure. If I'm mispronouncing your last name, I'm sorry. But Rick said, quote, "To control the skyrocketing cost of roster shuffling, the ECHL is now going to let the Icemen use blank jerseys with Velcro numbers and letters."
I love it.
That really would probably save them some money the way this season's gone. Going back to last week, on Tuesday, the Icemen signed a forward named Derek St. Marie. It is his third pro season. Mainly he's played in the Federal League, single A. But he's been tearing it up in the Federal League this year. He had 27 goals and 44 points in 27 games. So definitely a good guy to take a look at. He's also had 22 ECHL games with Cincinnati last year and Orlando this year. under his belt. And I liked what I saw at him. He's speedy, and he doesn't look out of place at all in this level. So he might be the kind of guy we've talked about evaluating for next year. He could be the kind of guy that this is essentially an extended training camp look, and we'll see what he's gotten. He might put himself on Crom's radar for next season. Also last Tuesday, Colin Redden, another Ford, was claimed off of waivers from San Francisco. He was actually in camp with the Icemen this season. It is his second pro year, and he's mainly been playing in the SPHL with the Huntsville Havoc and Jordan Little this season. He had 58 points in 73 games in the SP in his career, so he's got some skill too. I didn't see a whole lot out of him. He didn't look out of place, but he wasn't as flashy and positively noticeable as St. Marie. But certainly not a bad addition. He didn't look bad at all. Then last Wednesday, Stefan Della Rovere was recalled by Peoria because the Blues lost three key players to IR within about a 10-day span. And as a result of that, they called three players up from Peoria. So Peoria needed reinforcements. On Thursday, there were no moves. Friday, March 1st, as mentioned before, that's when Kevin Baker was placed on team suspension so that we retain his rights in the ECHL as he left to go play in Arizona. On Saturday, the Icemen signed a winger named John May. He had 41 career games, including 40 in the E. He was just signed to a one-day contract to play the Saturday game up in Toledo, and then he was released on Sunday. In that game at Toledo, Matt Krug sustained a knee injury. He did not play Sunday, and his timetable is to be determined. I didn't get to talk to Patafi at length, so I'm not sure what the status is there, but might be another question to ask him and see.
They'll figure it out in about an hour.
See where he stands. Then on Sunday, good news, Nathan Moon was reassigned to the Icemen by Springfield. He did not arrive in time to play Sunday's game due to some delays with his travel situation. But at least he's coming back for now until there's another injury up top and they have to call him up again. And then also on Sunday, the Icemen signed a winger by the name of Adam Krug, who is Matt's older brother, which gives us four pair of brothers that have now played in Icemen history. He played...
Remember that, folks, for next year's trivia.
Yeah. Who was the fourth one? That's a tough one because he only played one game for the Icemen, but it does give us our fourth pair. He had played 69 career professional games, including a bunch over in Holland. He had actually retired as a player and is working in Indy as an assistant coach for the Indiana Ice in the United States Hockey League, which is juniors. And he was off, and he tweeted, a day off? Nope. Going to Evansville to play in an ECHL game. So he came out of retirement, played our game on Sunday, did not look particularly out of place. I think he actually had an assist in the game. And then he was released on Monday.
That's because defensemen are inherently smarter than forwards. So you can pretty much, even if they do lose their speed, they still know the game. So you can put him in at any situation.
I don't disagree, but the only problem with that is he's a winger.
He learned a lot from his brother.
Yeah, nice. Nice save.
I don't think so.
I was a defenseman too, so I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the forwards in this room are outnumbered 2-1. Take that, Kelly Miller.
There's the same amount of forwards in this room as figure skaters as well.
At least we have the figure skaters outnumbered, too.
Yes. Well, I'm a kind of a half figure skater. But anyways.
Yeah, toe pick. So then on Monday, the Icemen lost another player to call up. Andre Bouvet-Morissette got recalled to Peoria, again, as filling in because of all the guys that have been called up to the Blues. And on Monday also, Anton Blomqvist was shifted from the active roster to reserve. I'm guessing, as of when we record this, that's the last transaction we have, but I'm guessing that's a precursor to Crom bringing in some more healthy bodies on defense.
I liked watching Morissette out there because every time he skated by, I thought, ooh, Alanis, she's gorgeous. Nice, Kelly Miller.
Kelly Miller stealing the joke. On Thursday, I was in the press box, and... Jonathan Lintner from the Courier and Press was there, and he was sitting next to me, and he looked at me after Bouvet-Morissette scored. He said, so is it Bouvet-Morissette, or is it just Morissette? I said, it's Bouvet-Morissette, hyphenated. He said, isn't that ironic? I said, don't you think? So, yeah, we're busting out the Alanis references. Alanis, I believe, is Canadian, too.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. So, anyway, That's all of our transactions. Take
for
the plug
moment.
Away.
For the moment.
Yeah, for the moment.
But if you need to be caught up to date anytime, anywhere, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No coverage like it anywhere in the tri-state. So if you need Iceman information, rosters, who's a veteran, who's a rookie, et cetera, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com. Click on the red graphic. You'll see it. It's got that little handicap symbol by it. You can go to the skip to the end of that message board, and you will find the updated roster. One thing go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say it's available anywhere on the worldwide internet, as Terry Ficarelli likes to say.
Yabba dabba doo. One thing as we transition into our next topic, I had got to spend some time with Brian Vall last week.
My condolences.
And it was awesome. We did a playoff game over at Swander Ice Arena, the only championship broadcast team in the history of Evansville Iceman.
I actually listened to some of that, and I'll just say Brian Vall is the only guy I've ever known who can do color commentary in black and white.
Nice. Not sure what that means, but we're going to take it as a positive. But we sit on the maniac asylum or whatever else, and we complain about the team, and we say this, and we say that, and why doesn't this happen, and why doesn't that happen? There is so much that goes on behind the scenes that the regular fan has no idea about. And as you get a few of these tidbits, all of a sudden things make more sense, and it sounds scary. And the one tidbit that he shared with me is, did you realize that indeed, because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, when an AHL sends a player down to us, they pay that $525,
correct,
the AHL team does. But what I did not know, and I'll see if you know, we are responsible for the travel cost.
Really?
Really.
I did not know that. I thought the team that initiated the transaction would be responsible for paying.
As my daughter likes to say, taught to her by Michael Shockley, "Aren't." When they recall a player, they pay the travel cost. But when they send one down, including one from Connecticut after a game, we are on the hook for the travel costs up to and including $2,000. So you think about all of the AHL transactions we've had. That is all expenses.
So when Moon got sent back down on Sunday, they rushed him to try to get him here in time, paid for that flight, and it ended up being for nothing because he couldn't get here in time anyway.
Yep, and that's on the Iceman's dollar. It has nothing to do with Springfield or St. Louis.
So basically, whichever team is receiving the player, whichever way it's going, is who's on the hook for the cost.
Yep.
So if when we were wondering at the time, it didn't end up playing out, but we were wondering if Paul Karpovich would have been sent down when the Icemen were in Florida. If they would have wanted to fly him down there, that would have been on Ron Geary's dime, not Peorius.
Yep.
Wow. That's it. That is interesting.
So just as we're complaining and saying, we're talking about coach philosophies and everything else, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind that scene that we have no idea about. So
that's good stuff.
But anyways, getting into the silly season.
Yeah, silly season is it's kind of an annual rite of passage about this time in the minor leagues. Pretty much every year as the season winds down and teams start to fall out of playoff contention and the playoff picture starts to get more focused, the focus turns to which teams are coming back, who's moving, who's folding, who's changing leagues, all that stuff. And last year, the Icemen were a big part of that, and it ended up where there was smoke, there was fire, and the Icemen moved from the CHL to the ECHL. Well, this year, we know the Icemen are staying put. The Icemen signed a 10-year deal with the E, so we're not going anywhere anytime soon. But there are still a lot of questions elsewhere. There's already rumors flying about the CHL, the rotting carcass that is the CHL, and which teams are going to remain, which teams are going to fold, which teams are losing their ownership, and who's going to go juniors, and who might come to the E. And it's way too early to tell who's moving right now. There really haven't been any credible sources, newspapers or local media or even very credible-looking blogs that have said anything of substance about anyone from the CHL leaving. But it's almost a guarantee that something will happen. We just don't know what yet. So stay tuned for that. But the biggest news, I think, that has come out so far is on Monday this week, Bob Kravitz, who is a sports columnist for the Indianapolis Star, tweeted that he's hearing about meetings happening to get the ECHL in Indy. For those who don't know, Indy has had the USHL, the Indiana Ice, which is juniors, since the 2004-05 season. The Ice have averaged about 3,700 fans per game for the past three seasons, excluding this year, which is actually a pretty solid total. That's top two or three in the USHL.
So they also had playing for them John Carlson, who was a first-round draft pick of the Washington Capitals 4 years ago, I believe.
Correct, yeah. He's one of a few. There's a few other guys, I think, that have gone through the Ice that are now in the NHL. And through last year, they played all their games at the Pepsi Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds in Indy. Well, this year and next season, the Coliseum is closed. They're completely renovating it. The company Populous, which is the company that designed the Ford Center here, is handling, it's like a $100 million renovation of the Coliseum. And it's an ancient but very cool building, and they're basically going to keep the antique-looking Art Deco exterior and then completely refurbish the interior so that it looks like a modern-day facility, like the Ford Center. And it will end up being about the same size, too. It's going to have about 7,000 or 8,000, so it'll be a little bit smaller. But
does that mean the ice surface is going to be too small?
No, I haven't heard one way or the other, but in the past, and they may change it with the new configuration, in the past, though, the ice there was actually Olympic size. It was bigger.
Wow.
And you notice a difference when you're a player. You notice,
oh, yeah.
Player or official. It's definitely noticeable. But I haven't heard one way or the other if they're going to keep it Olympic size or if they're actually going to retrofit it down to standard North American size and put more seats in.
If they are going to the ECHL, they're going to have to make it regulation.
You would think, yeah.
Well, they would have to. There, no one's skating on Olympic size ice.
That's probably true. Although they used to, when the ice have played there for years, including in professional leagues, and they played on that size ice then. So, but the ECHL might be a little more of a stickler about that. But
well, that was also back in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah. But yeah,
I was raised by parents in the 70s. There's a lot of rules went by the wayside.
Yeah,
it's amazing what you can do with a beer.
Right now the Coliseum is closed. It will be closed next year. The Ice in the USHL are currently playing most of their games at Pan Am Plaza in downtown Indy, which is about the same size as Swander and not fitted to host professional or even major level junior hockey. They are playing a few games at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, too, where the Pacers play. But and that's right now, that's the plan for next season, too. But after next season, all bets are off. The Coliseum will be ready for the 2014-2015 hockey season. The Ice do not have a lease with the building for that season. And in the past, the main barrier to professional hockey returning to Indy has been that the Ice had an exclusivity clause in their lease with the Coliseum. So as long as they were there, no one could bring another team there. And that's really the only building in Indy that's really suitable to host hockey on a full-time basis. I mean, you can play hockey at Pan Am Plaza, but it only holds 1,500. You can play hockey at Bankers Life.
Dump.
Yeah, it is.
It's no Swander.
No, it's not. It's the same size, but it's a lot older and not in nearly as good a shape. And you can play hockey at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, but that place is huge and really expensive. So it's not suitable for minor league hockey either. So the Coliseum is the only game in town. The question now is going to be who's going to be playing that game. And it could very well end up being a case of the highest bidder gets the least. The USHL team right now has seniority in the market, but if an ECHL team comes in, if they've got an ownership group in place and the league really wants Indy as a market, they could make that happen. So we very well could see our third Indiana team in the ECHL within a couple of years, which would be awesome.
I think you've uncovered a gem. I think this,
it
just has all of the... It's looking like if they're having meetings now, setting up for 2 years from now when the renovation's done, they've got Fort Wayne and Evansville within 3 hours
of each other. Cincinnati's an hour and a half away. It makes too much sense to not happen, which is probably why it won't.
No, I don't know.
I hope it's another case of where there's smoke, there's fire. And time will tell. We'll see how it plays out. But Indy can definitely support pro hockey. The last two seasons they had pro hockey was back in 02, 03, and 03, 04. And they averaged 4,700 a game in the CHL, and the ECHL is higher level hockey. And even farther back in the 80s and 90s, when the Ice were in the old IHL, playing the likes of Fort Wayne and Cincinnati and Kalamazoo, who in theory would all be in the same division with the whatever team in Indy joins the E, they were averaging over 5,500 a game. So the market can support pro hockey. It can't support two teams. There's not going to be a pro team and a junior team. It's going to be one or the other. And I, for one, hope it's going to be a pro team. It would be awesome to see. It would give the Iceman another logical close rival, another good chance for fans to go on road trips, and it would be pretty cool to have three Indiana teams in the same division.
Yep, that would be awesome.
So we'll see what happens. But I do have to give credit. That was not my uncovering the diamond. Kevinsville is the one who posted that tweet.
After some horrible things that we said about him that we were completely inaccurate about, he's been tearing it up with some really good stuff.
Yeah. Otherwise known as he has too much time on his hands and sits and reads tweets from columnists that are 3 hours away.
Well, what can you do? That's all my Twitter. That's all I follow on Twitter is writers from all over the place
to get
the scoop.
That's true. I follow, well, I'm not on Twitter, but I routinely check David Minion from the Peoria Journal-Star because normally that's who breaks news about Icemen getting and losing players from that side of the affiliation. So, yeah, it's interesting what can be uncovered from social media these days because there's a lot of stuff like that 10 years ago. Maybe no one would hear about it. But now someone from a newspaper can just post a little tweet and, oh, by the way, I heard that such and such is going on, and then the rumors start flying. So, yeah, hopefully it's a case of the rumor having some credence to it, and in time we'll find out that Indy is going to join us because having grown up in Indy as an Ice fan when they were pro, I'll be slightly conflicted. I'll tell you this. I will root for the Icemen when we're playing the Ice, but other than that, or whoever, whatever name they choose, I would be rooting for Indy against everyone else. But, boy, that would be tough to... my original hometown team against my current hometown team, I would be a slightly conflicted, but it would be nice to have them. And I would certainly love to see them beat the Comets just as bad as I'd like to see us beat the Comets.
That would be cool.
The interesting thing with that is, what name will they choose? Will they, if they do go pro, will they keep the Ice name, which has a lot of equity built up into it and has, at this point, 20-plus years of history? Or do they go back to an older name? Do you go with the
Racers?
The Racers, which is who Gretzky played for, or do you go with the Checkers, which is the team that was after the Racers? They also had the Capitals and the Chiefs before that. So they've got a good history of some names that they could choose from, or they could go a whole new route. We'll see. But it would be kind of odd to have Ice and Icemen in the same league.
Yeah. One of the worst things a few years ago when myself and my friend Tyler Jackson were broadcasting Evansville Thunder High School hockey on WYIR, there's a team, the Columbus team, Columbus, Indiana, is called the Icemen.
Yeah.
So here I'm broadcasting a game where the Icemen are not the home team.
Right.
And that made for some difficult radio.
Well, and that was one of the reasons why when the whole Icemen first came to be 5 years ago, when I was talking to Chip long before there was ever a game, I told him, Icemen is a terrible name. Whether or not you like the name itself, Icemen is a terrible choice for a name because the Columbus Icemen are one of the biggest rivals for the Evansville Thunder. Mm-hmm. So if you want to establish yourself a professional team, you're going to have a grassroots campaign. And rule one in your grassroots campaign, don't name your team after the local youth hockey team's biggest rivals. But they did it anyway, and now the Icemen name is probably here to stay. But it would be kind of odd if we end up with the Ice and the Icemen together. Because the Ice usually call their players Icemen.
Ah, that would be very confusing.
Yeah, it would.
And especially with seasons like this, we would just have some of our players just showing up in their locker room.
Yeah, that's true. They'd be very confused.
In the midst of defection.
We could take a
player
from them and just like take a Sharpie and write men under their logo.
Scandalous.
Yeah.
Real men of genius. That's what we are. And that's also the next segment.
Yes. Very well done.
I don't know where this stuff comes up with sometimes.
We've already premiered, the first one we aired was Mr. Wear a Kilt to a Hockey Game Guy in tribute to Chris LeMond. Last week we did Mr. Angry Cowbell Chucker Guy as a in dishonor of Drew Campbell.
Infamy.
Infamy, yes. In this week, our third tribute, quote-unquote, this is in honor of the Ford Center's resident Dale Earnhardt wannabe, who kind of got his wish on Sunday because during the first intermission of the game, the on-ice promotional stuff took way too long. And the Zambonis did not get on the ice until there was 5:35 left on the clock. So the race was on. And he did end up almost lapping the other Zamboni driver. So
that makes for good ice.
Yeah, it does. So this is, in fairness, he hasn't done this at the Ford Center that I've seen, but this is in tribute to something he used to do at Swander, much to his enjoyment and perhaps a few others in the stands who don't understand how terrible it is for the ice. This is Real Men of Genius. Here you go, Mr. Houseman.
Iceman Insights presents
Real men of genius.
Real men of genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Doing Donuts with the Zamboni Guy.
Mr. Doing Donuts with the Zamboni Guy.
You're not satisfied with established ice resurfacing standards, boring and practical as they may be.
I'm falling asleep here.
So you honk your horn and spin in circles, sending complimentary snow cones to fans all over the building.
I hope they're tasty.
Then, to expertly fix the ruts you've just created, you proceed to lay down 13 gallons of water per square foot of ice.
Get out the squeegees!
So we salute you, O Czar of the Zamboni. When the period ends and you do your thing, you never fail to make us dizzy with joy.
Mr. Doing Donuts with the Zamboni Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WYIR, Evansville, Indiana.
Good afternoon and welcome to Ivy Insights with Ivy. Hello, Ivy.
Doing great, Dad.
What would you like to talk about today? Being an archer?
Nope.
Defeating Mordu?
Nope.
Wearing a Merida dress?
Nope.
Michael Shockley?
Yeah!
What about that Michael Shockley?
Love him.
Yes? What's your favorite part of Michael Shockley?
How crazy he goes with me.
Really? He's a pretty crazy dude, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
What do you think Michael Shockley's favorite song is? You have been listening to Ivy Insights on 96.9 WYIR Music Bomb.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
Thank you, Ivy. And we are back. Iceman Insights, Michael Shockley. Dirty D, Music Bomb. 96.9 WYIR.
Iceman Trivia.
Iceman Trivia. I'm hot. I've been hot.
Not really.
What?
You've cooled off. You've missed two in a row.
But I'm one for two then. In this Iceman season, if you're 1-2, it's a winning streak.
You are 3-8 overall on the season, which is about in line with the Iceman.
Yep, 375. Oh, no, wait. What is that? That would be three out of 292.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Boy, break out the abacus.
People. Here we go. All right. Good, though. This one is the winner.
On Saturday, no, it's not. On Saturday, February 23rd at Florida, Anton Blomqvist scored his first professional goal in his 65th pro game. It was his 36th game with the Icemen. My question for you, excluding goalies, who holds the Icemen franchise record for the most games played as a member of the team without scoring a goal?
I got a good feeling about this one.
Do you?
Nope, I'm not feeling it. Who is? What's the answer?
Does Kelly Miller have a guess?
Kelly Miller, Allstate in studio.
He wants to say Schneider, but he doesn't want to say Schneider. Well, he's equally incorrect as Derek. The answer is defenseman Jake Pence.
Oh, good old
Pence. Played
Pence-y.
20 games during the team's first CHL season without scoring a goal. Next on the list with 18 games played, two other defensemen, Derek Fome, who played this year, played 18 games without scoring a goal. And back in the second AHA season, really the AAHL, Griffin Biedron.
Yes,
remember
the
that
Griff.
Name?
Yep.
The record for goalless games by a forward is held by the late Alex Motley from the first AHA season. He played 13 games with the Icemen without scoring a goal. So there you go. Derek loses again.
Yeesh.
Three in a row. You got a turkey.
I'm just going to defect.
You going to go to the CHL trivia?
Maybe
where
Arizona.
Make more money to lose?
Needs a show. Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
As mentioned before, Iceman fans can follow athletic trainer Brian Patafi and weekly amusement park guest on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. His tweet this week was actually just Monday. He tweeted in regard to some major worldwide news that's making headlines. He said, quote, "I've seen all over the news that the Cardinals have gathered at the Vatican, geez, to travel that far. I hope they're playing a doubleheader."
Ba-da-bump.
Yeah.
He writes his own material, too.
Boy,
that's what's amazing.
You can tell he writes his own material. Nobody steals this stuff. So, yeah, follow Brian Patafio on Twitter.
As we transition into our next segment, I'm actually going to cross-promote one of my other radio shows.
Are you now?
I am, and it's going to happen right now. This Friday night, Populux Radio Show. It is a rock and roll radio show. It airs at 11 p.m., and it's a theme-based radio show where we come up with a theme. We put rock and roll songs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and
today.
Current day stuff, and we encourage Facebook interaction during the show. But that show is When Love Is Not Enough.
Nice.
And our next segment here is called Popping the Question.
And believe it or not, this was not planned whatsoever.
No.
This is totally, I had Popping the Question on our notes, and I didn't know anything about Populux doing that.
It's the Wild West. I'm just shooting from the hip here.
It's amazing.
Pearl Handle Six Shooters.
Yeah, Popping the Question, I just wanted to bring this up. It's not a particularly lengthy discussion, I don't think, but we've had several marriage proposals at the Ford Center over the last couple of years.
My marriage proposal was a lengthy discussion.
A lot of no's and pleading and begging.
There was no no's. There was just, will you marry me?
Please.
No, that's all I said. And she said, wow, that's a difficult question. Can you believe that?
Well, considering who was asking...
Well, yeah.
Man.
But anyways.
So, speaking of lengthy, I think the best proposal we've seen was last year, the kid that was really long-winded who got booed.
That was doing the Hamlet sonnet and everything else.
Oh, man. That was awful. Took forever. Took the whole media timeout.
They started the game off.
Yeah, they started the game up, and he's still down on a knee rambling on. And I tell you one thing, if you get booed proposing in Evansville, you would get booed proposing anywhere. Imagine if he was in Philly or New York or Boston or something.
Yeah, he got hit with beers.
Yeah, exactly.
There's romantic proposals, and then there's proposals at the arena, and you've got to kind of...
Yeah, if you want to be romantic...
You can't do the romantic thing and put it in an ice arena.
Exactly,
during
yeah.
A game.
They just don't. No, they don't go together. So I bring this up because on Sunday night, a guy proposed to his girlfriend during a media timeout with the Iceman down 8-3 in the third period. She did say yes. But my question to you is, and I guess we can open this to Kelly Miller as well, if you're planning to pop the question at a sporting event, be it hockey or otherwise, and the home team is just getting drilled, they're getting shellacked, would you reconsider because you don't want to introduce that bad mojo into your marriage right off the get-go? Or would you just do it anyway?
This is the dirty D. I would reconsider.
Would you really?
I'd be like, is this a sign?
Yeah.
And yeah, I would have to, because, I mean, hockey's more important than your marriage anyways, so I would definitely have to think twice about it. What about you, Kelly Miller, Allstate?
I would think that the audience would be looking for a change.
Ah. Kelly
Look
Miller says...
Being so selfless.
Kelly Miller says he's going to try to motivate the team by breaking up the shellacking with some good news. I like that. Oh, speaking of which, we need to say happy birthday this week to the wonderful and beautiful Stacy Miller.
Turned
21.
On Tuesday.
Yes, she did. So
yesterday.
How long have you guys been married for? 16 years.
Wow. 16 years.
Do the math. There you go. Kelly Miller Allstate. Yeah. All right. So what about you, Shocker?
I don't know. I was thinking about it after I came up with the idea for the question. And I'm not sure if I went to the length of getting it all organized and everything, I would probably go through with it. But I might have some second thoughts about it. But, yeah, I think the superstition in me would think, ooh, I don't know. But I think I would probably go forward and do it anyway. But I wouldn't propose at a sporting event anyway.
No.
That's not my style.
Not
but.
My style either. I might be all grumpy, though. I'd be like, you know, once Steven Rickard shows up with the microphone and everything else, I'd be just like, honey, we're getting killed. Do you want to get married or not?
Yeah, there
Here's
you
go. A flipping ring.
Yeah.
Friggin' Iceman. We need a new coach. Todd Robinson isn't skating hard enough.
Throw everyone
blah,
out
blah,
of
blah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting question. That's something to throw out to the masses. Would you go through with it if you were going to propose? If you're the type that would ever propose at a sporting event.
Yep.
If you go to it doesn't have to be the Iceman. If you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan and you go to a Cardinals game and they're down 14-2 in the seventh inning, are you still going to do it?
There you go. Upcoming games. We are away. We only have 4 home games left on the calendar.
Yeah, believe it or not. We're on the road this week, Friday at Kalamazoo, Saturday at Cincinnati. And this is as good a time as any to say that we don't know if we're doing a show next week.
I may be on vacation.
Yeah, Derek may not be here. He may be here, and we may have a show. Tune in next Wednesday and find out. it's a mystery.
Yep. It's a mystery even to me.
Yeah, it's a mystery to everyone, including those of us who are doing the broadcast. But if we do not do a show next week, we'll go on and mention that the next home games for the Icemen are not this Friday and Saturday, but next Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th. Friday the 15th, the Icemen host Greenville for the last time this season. And that is the second and final youth jersey giveaway of the season. Their first 1,000 kids through the doors get a free Icemen jersey. And then Saturday the 16th against Kalamazoo.
Awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Is the St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Painting the ice green.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Really?
Uh-oh. Doesn't everyone know about that?
I didn't think
they
were.
Sorry, Brian.
Oh, well.
Yeah, stop the breaking tape machine news in the truck.
Now this is going to be our last show. but yeah, in addition to apparently perhaps the colored ice, we will have a jersey auction that night. The Icemen are wearing special St. Patrick's Day jerseys, and I believe that's the last post-game jersey auction of the season. They will then do another jersey auction at Backstage Bar and Grill after the season's over. But Saturday, March 16th, will be the last jersey auction after a game. And that is the first time Kalamazoo comes here since Brian Bisek signed with them. I do not know if he's going to play. Last I heard, he's still on IR due to concussion, so he very well might not be in the lineup. We will see.
Where are we at here? Is that it?
That's about it.
All right. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. As we mentioned, only 4 home games left. But despite all the losses and everything, I just want to remind everyone once again, do not take this for granted. We had over 5,000 people at a beautiful new arena in downtown Evansville on a Sunday night, even though we're in last place. Just let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
And consider the fact that pro hockey in a city of this size is not a given. It's not a birthright. We're very lucky to have what we have, win or lose. And you need look no further than to the capital city in this state. Indianapolis does not have professional hockey. And it's crazy to think about that a city of that size doesn't. But if Indy doesn't have pro hockey, that should be proof enough that Evansville does not have to have pro hockey. So enjoy it. Hopefully it'll be around for a very long time, but you never know. So don't take it for granted and come out and support the team for these last 4 games, win or lose.
Along those lines, let's also be very thankful of our Iceman players. They're just professional athletes. They are humans. They're just doing a job like everyone else. It's just that their job is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And
really, really public.
And very public. And as we get the last few weeks, there's probably going to, I don't know when the trade deadline is. There may be other transactions. There may be other defections. Let's not take this personally. These guys, most of them, for 5 years, almost every player has really enjoyed Evansville, and they have a lot of fun here, and they love the fans, and they are not, whether it's Kevin Baker or whoever else, they are not doing it in spite to hurt the fan base. They are just doing their job. So before we go on Maniacs Asylum, the admin board is watching you. The warden and the rest of them do a really good job, and we don't want to hear your drama and your hate about players and everything else. They're just doing a job, and they're trying to truly. This isn't the NFL where they say, I got to look out for my family. These guys really have to look out for their families.
Yeah, they really do. It's not the difference between $20 million and $21
million.
Yes. It's the difference between $500 and $600.
So let's keep all of that. Let's make rational comments, and let's talk about strategy and building a hockey team. Let's not take anything personal and spiteful and use the worldwide internet as our tool to just be a D-bag.
Yeah.
Because we will all see it, and we will all call you out on it.
Yeah, I agree.
So other than that, you've been listening to Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley. He is the senior writer, the webmaster. He is also the vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans. You can check out all the breaking news, anything that has to do with the Iceman on IcemanManiacs.com. You can also check him out on his Facebook page, Iceman Maniacs. This has been the Dirty D. You're listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 WYIR, the music bomb.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.